Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Looking at now the continuing protest actions against the Netanyahu government and its handling of the hostage situation and war on terror. Joining us on the line now once again, Kanan Lidol, contributor to the Times of Israel and also Europe correspondent to Chai FM. Kanan, good afternoon to you. Thanks once again for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
No, great to have you on board once again, Kanan. So, yes, in an ongoing saga, we're looking at protest actions continuing within and throughout Israel. So, if we can just begin the conversation with what exactly transpired over the weekend. Over to you. What exactly happened since the weekend?
Well, it was the latest of a series of protests outside two residences of Benjamin Netanyahu, one in Jerusalem, the official one, and the other private residence in Caesarea. This is a creeping phenomenon, not only against Netanyahu, but since the judicial overhaul of this government, we've seen more and more protests outside the homes of politicians, and not only politicians, not only elected ones at any rate, bureaucrats as well, both sides. It's becoming much nastier, much more personal, and actually a bit more dangerous, because there's those residences are heavily guarded by the General Security Agency, who are under orders to fire if anyone approaches with suspicion intentions. And there's a bit of a erosion of the lines, a bit of an escalation each time. Last time the protesters in Caesarea reached within 250 yards of the residence, whereas in previous times they've been kept 800 yards away, and that's because they flanked the barricade to Netanyahu's home. So we're really playing with fire here in terms of safety. And then the residents of Caesarea, they have their own thoughts about the protest.
Okay. Kanan, what you just mentioned now, we seem to be witnessing an emboldened, shall we say, approach from protesters as of late. Are we seeing not only around the leadership's residences, are we seeing this kind of activity also surfacing, beginning to surface in the rest of Israel?
Yes, violence is starting to reemerge at protests on both sides. The spirits are running high, tensions are running high. Rather, in last Saturday's protest, a passerby ran over with his car over five protesters against the government. He says it's an accident, but it's not entirely certain what happened there. And in Caesarea, which is a very affluent town, a beautiful place, coastal, peaceful beach town, you know, regularly you have fires started on the road by the protesters. Just today, someone was arrested for making explicit threats to kill Netanyahu, and it's becoming increasingly common. Just in preparing articles about it, I scanned social media, and there's very prevalent comparisons between Netanyahu and Ceausescu, Nicolae Ceausescu, the late dictator of Romania, who was executed. I was executed with his wife Elena by a firing squad. So those comparisons carry a pretty gruesome associations with them.
Right, indeed. These protesters, Kanan, are they, from what you can gather, are they originally voters for Netanyahu's Likud party, now showing signs of rejection? Can you get any sense of their political leanings at this stage?
Well, the right wing here in Israel maintains that the protesters are the same disaffected center-left voters who each time put on the mantle of a different cause. So in 2023, it was the judicial overhaul. Then it became religious coercion. Mm-hmm. Now it's equality of service in the army and the hostages. And in terms of the demographics, when you actually get down in those protests, they seem to be, at least in Caesarea, they seem to be middle-aged, affluent, and you see it by the cars right. parked along Rothschild Road. Mm-hmm. Affluent protesters from the left. In Tel Aviv, it's a bit more diverse. You have much younger people, and you have anarchists, you have just your garden variety left-wing students. You have centrists who from the high-tech sector and so forth. And you have Arabs demonstrating. So it's much more diverse, but it seems to be that it's limited. It runs along party lines. It runs along social lines that sure. were pre-existed even before Likud was elected.
Kanan, okay, so at this stage, what is there, based on, you know, like tensions and emotions and opinions which are really coming to a head now and are really mounting, what at this stage is their key message and complaint?
The key message right now is war-related, and it's that Netanyahu has abandoned the hostages. You hear it repeated by Guy Tzul, former commander of the Land Army, Dani Yatom, former head of Mossad, mm-hmm. Ani Ayalon, former head of General Security Agency. At those rallies, at various protest rallies, that's the message that comes across most frequently. Furthermore, botched war, and that he ultimately and his government bear the responsibility of the devastating failure of October 7th. Those are the main messages. Again, a switch from before the war, when it's centered on internal issues such as religion and state, turning Israel into a halachic religious theocracy and so forth.
Kanan, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks again, as always, for joining us on the line to give us your views and thoughts as to reasons behind, in this case, this protest action against the Netanyahu government and its handling of the hostage situation and war on terror. Kanan Lador, contributor to the Times of Israel and Europe correspondent to Chai FM.